Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 68 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
We need to be protected, and we also need to be role models for people in our community.
A new campaign is encouraging Black Kentuckians to get vaccinated.
Dr. Rand Paul and Dr. Anthony Fauci are once again butting heads.
Doctors say COVID could lead to deadly blood clots.
Clinical vaccine trials for children are set to begin in the Commonwealth.
Warmer weather means more hikers and a need for safety on the trails.
In sports, the Round County boys enter the first round of the 16th region tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 43. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
I Got the Shot to Protect the Ones I Love is a new campaign featuring Black Kentuckians talking about why they chose to get the COVID-19 vaccine. The goal of the campaign is to encourage more Kentuckians of color to get vaccinated. It was launched by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky and Kentucky Nurses Association. Delanor Manson is the CEO of the KNA. She explains the vaccines were tested on tens of thousands of people, including Black and brown populations, and did not skip any steps in the approval process.
This technology has been around for at least 10 years, the technology that was used to make the Ebola vaccines and what we use for flu vaccines and for HIV vaccines.
The campaign is part of an effort to increase confidence in the vaccine.
The nation's top infectious disease specialist is once again butting heads with Kentucky's junior senator. Rand Paul argues those who have either recovered from or been vaccinated against COVID-19 should not have to wear face coverings. Dr. Anthony Fauci countered that Paul's argument ignores the emergence of new mutations.
When you talk about reinfection and you don't keep in the concept of variants, that's an entirely different ball game. That's a good reason for a mask.
The infectious disease expert cited a Johnson & Johnson study he said showed patients who had been infected with the original strain of the virus appeared to have no protection when exposed to the South African variant. Researchers are still gathering evidence on whether vaccinated individuals can still transmit the disease and on the effectiveness of the vaccines against the new variants.
Medical professionals say people who have COVID-19 are at an increased risk of developing blood clots. If caught in time, blood clots are relatively easy to fix. Vascular surgeon Dr. Nick Abetti tells WKYT clots can develop into a life-threatening problem.
This could have been a life-threatening problem. The clot is so large, if any of the clot were to break off, it could have gone into the heart and lungs, and that would have been a pulmonary embolism. And a lot of times that's fatal, unfortunately.
Abetti says it's important to pay attention to the mild symptoms like discomfort and swelling in arms or legs, numbness in the face, and difficulty talking.
About 1/3 of the adults in the U.S. have received the COVID-19 vaccine. Clinical trials are currently underway to get children vaccinated as well. Dr. Kibby Crowley with Poole and Thomas Pediatrics has a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old. On Tuesday, she signed them up to be candidates for the Moderna COVID-19 vaccination trial for children. Crowley tells WKYT, children getting vaccinated plays a big part in reaching herd immunity.
Naturally, there is apprehension about the vaccine because it is new. So there's a lot of mixed emotions. When it comes down to it, I think families generally are going to be on board and excited to move forward.
Dr. Crowley says children have historically been placed in the last group for clinical trials.
As the COVID vaccine continues to be distributed across the Commonwealth, there are many questions pertaining to the second dose of the vaccine. The Centers for Disease Control says side effects after the second shot may be more intense than what patients experienced after the first. Those side effects are normal signs that the body is building protection and should go away within a few days. Dr. Matthew Beneker from the Mayo Clinic tells WKYT he's confident that testing for COVID-19 is going to be able to detect even new variant strains.
The majority of tests that are being used in the United States look for at least two, sometimes three different parts of the viral genome. So again, if there are changes in one, there's still some backups to detect that.
It is possible some COVID-19 variants may evade detection by some tests, according to the CDC.
Kentucky's top education official is expressing concerns that a recently passed bill could affect local school districts' ability to allocate federal relief dollars. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Education Commissioner Jason Glass says Congress intended the vast majority of the federal aid earmarked for Kentucky schools to flow directly through school districts. But the Lexington Herald Leader reports newly approved legislation could effectively turn some of that decision-making over to the General Assembly. House Bill 405 penalizes the governor's office of the budget director if any of the incoming federal dollars are allocated or spent without the express permission of the legislature. Kentucky is slated to receive $2.1 billion in federal aid to help schools reopen. It can be used in a number of areas, from funding summer school to outfitting older buildings with new ventilation systems. A state education department spokesperson said the allocation of those dollars could be affected by House Bill 405, which is currently awaiting review by the governor. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Wolf County's search and rescue team saved an injured hiker in the Red River Gorge who suffered a leg injury over the weekend. On average, officials say the team will do 50 to 60 rescues each year with about one fatality. Rescue team chief John May tells WKYT hikers sometimes don't realize the dangers on the trail.
You know, we have been kooky for the past year to a certain degree. And once spring rolls around and the temperatures start to rise, people are anxious to get outside. And you know, we have a lot of new people coming to the gorge. You know, and unfortunately, they just don't spend a lot of time, you know, preparing before they come here.
May recommends hikers stay within trail boundaries and not cross over railings in order to avoid injury.
There are four 4-H camps spread out through Kentucky, and the J.M. Feltner camp is in Laurel County. Like many businesses and events, the camp shut down last year, but has come back this year operating at 50% capacity. Camp director Kevin Pettigrew tells WYMT the camp reopening is very exciting.
60 people here at camp, and we run 10 or 11 sessions. So we usually do quite a large number of campers. This summer, we're taking that number in half. So it's like 180, 170.
With the change, precautions are in place to ensure safety. Pettigrew says having fun while in a safe environment is most important.
A pioneer journalist and civic leader passed away over the weekend. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
Al Smith died Friday at his home in Sarasota, Florida at the age of 94. Smith was the first host of the Kentucky Education Television's Public Affairs Roundtable Comment on Kentucky and owned several newspapers in towns such as Russellville, Caddis, London, Litchfield, and Morgantown. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, Smith's lengthy list of accomplishments, including serving on the board of the Kentucky Press Association and the Governor's Committee on Education, helping to start the Pritchard Committee for Academic Excellence and the Kentucky Oral History Commission, and co-founding the Institute for Rural Journalism and Community Issues at the University of Kentucky. Funeral arrangements for Smith are pending. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
There's been another setback to reopening a popular Southern Kentucky campground. Vandals set fire to the historic walking bridge over the Rockcastle River at Bee Rock Campground earlier this month. Jason Nedlow is part of the U.S. Forest Service. He tells WKYT, a lot will need to be replaced.
A lot of planking that was brand new that's going to have to be replaced. There's a water line that runs under the bridge to take water from the Laurel County to the Pulaski County side. That was destroyed in the fire, so that's going to have to be replaced.
U.S. Forest Service officials say at this time all access, including foot travel to the area, is off limits to limit exposure.
And finally this afternoon, new ticket inventory for the 147th Kentucky Derby will go on sale Friday at noon. 2-day Oaks and Derby ticket opens are for uncovered reserve bleacher seating in the first turn and uncovered reserve box seating for the sixth in the infield. One change this year is to accommodate COVID safety precautions. All reserved Oaks and Derby seats include all-inclusive food and drinks. That reduces the amount of time in lines and eliminates the need for cash transactions. Crowd capacity will be limited to 40% to 50%. Some areas with proper social distancing will allow 60% capacity. The $3 million Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve will be held on Saturday, May the 1st.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 69. Tuesday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 52. Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm afternoon, mostly cloudy with a high near 68.
On our feature segment today, an Ashland native has written the history behind the Ashland tragedy after years of dedication and research. The Trailblazers' Olivia Neal has the story.
Joe Castle was born in Ashland, Kentucky, and has dedicated 15 years to writing his book, The Ashland Tragedy, Murder, a Mob, and a Militia in Kentucky, which was published this year.
Well, it's a true crime story, and it happened in the late 1800s, where three young teenagers were murdered. And following the murders of those children, chaos erupted. And the book could very easily have been titled The Ashland Tragedies, because it rolled from one right into the next one.
Castle was inspired to write about the Ashland tragedy after reading the chronicles written by his co-author, J.M. Huff.
It was about 15 years ago when I first heard about the Ashland tragedy, and I was surprised that I hadn't heard about it before. J.M. Huff, he saw a lot of this drama as it unfolded, and he chronicled it in a small book he titled The Ashland Tragedy, The Axe and the Crowbar, The Silent Witnesses. I read a copy of that in the Boyd County Library, and it was incredible. But I knew there was more to the story than what he had written. And so I just determined to dig and search and find everything I could, and I did. And as I started researching and looking into it, I not only became captivated by the story, but it consumed me.
Castle decided beyond research he needed to also earn a degree in university studies through Morehead State University at the age of 65 in order to complete his story.
I knew I was going to do it. I just wanted to make sure I could give it my best effort. And by learning more about writing in English and history, I think I was a lot better equipped to do it after that. I also learned that in order for you to write about a subject and to do it well, you have to have a passion for that, which I did. And all the young people I was with here at school, they just welcomed me. They didn't look at me as if I was any different or anything. I made a lot of great friends here.
Through his 12 years of research, Castle also discovered the people of Boyd County have remained a strong community throughout time.
The Ashland people have always been courageous. They've been resilient. They've banded together in times of disasters and man-made tragedies. They've basically stood the test of time as a community that's bonded together. And again, I'll say it's not just the Ashland people, but it's all of Boyd County, really.
Castle hoped his book could remind both his community and the nation about the tragedy that took place in Ashland and the people that lived there.
I think it's important for the people of Ashland to be reawakened again to the story, the whole story, but not just those folks. It should be all of Kentucky. And, you know, this thing, when it happened, it captured the attention of the whole nation.
Reporting for The Trailblazer and WMKY News, I'm Olivia Neal.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 68 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanna Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this beautiful Monday evening.
The Vikings enter the first round of the regional tournament tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The 16th Region Boys Basketball Tournament gets back underway in Morehead this evening. First up at 5:30 is a contest between Lewis County and Boyd County. Wrapping up the evening will be the matchup between Rowan County and Elliott County. Vikings head coach Sean Thacker says the Lions will be bringing everything they've got to the floor tonight.
So they're going to know what it takes to come in and get the job done. So our kids will have to be mentally ready to go, and we got to come in and play well and be ready to go ourselves.
Tip-off for the Rowan and Elliott County game is set for 8 o'clock. The Morehead State University football team faced off against Denton University Saturday at Jean Stadium. The Eagles beat the Hatters 31-14. Head coach Rob Tenure says the Eagles are dealing with some depth issues with the offensive line, but they are healthy everywhere else.
We had an eligible player from last semester. We had an opt-out. We had a preseason surgery. Our starting center from last week will be out the rest of spring. So we're hurting a little bit there, but we're trying to piece it together and make it work. Everywhere else, we're pretty healthy.
MSU is scheduled to play against the Davidson Wildcats this Saturday in North Carolina. The Morehead State softball team battled with Tennessee Tech this afternoon in Morehead. The Eagles fell 7-3 after losing both contests to the Golden Eagles on Sunday. Head coach Samantha Jones said going into the series, she was expecting a tough weekend of play.
They've got a couple of pitchers on there that spin the ball really well, and so it comes in faster than what it appears to be, and the ball just kind of breaks and moves in east to west and north and south, so just preparing for that. I think overall offensively, I think they're very competitive.
The Eagles will host a doubleheader with Eastern Kentucky University this Wednesday. Game time is set for 1 p.m. The Morehead State University volleyball team faced off against Eastern Kentucky University Sunday. The Eagles beat the Colonels 3-1. MSU is scheduled to play their second match against EKU at 6 p.m. tonight in Richmond. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says EKU has a young team. They are all very talented, but they are facing some injuries, so it's a question of who will get to play.
EKU does not have a chance to be in the OVC tournament, so that's why we know that this will be the last time we play Eastern Kentucky in indoor volleyball as both members of the OVC.
Live stats will be available at msueagles.com. The Eagles baseball team went 3-1 in a four-game series with Norfolk State this weekend. The series moved Morehead State to 10-10 on the season. Head coach Mick Aoki says each game is a new start, no matter what happened in the first game of a series.
Doesn't matter that somebody might have better or worse personnel than you do. You can beat them and you can be beaten by them if you don't play better than them on that particular game. So the only thing that we control is what we bring to the table.
The team has a few days off this week. They'll travel to Tennessee for a three-game series with UT Martin on Friday. The Morehead State soccer team fell at Southern Illinois University Edwardsville Friday evening 1-0. The loss moves the Eagles to 1-5 on the short spring season. Head coach Warren Lipka says his team has been focused on everything happening in front of the goal.
Just trying to finish, opportunities, create opportunities under pressure in front of the goal, and
and just finishing. This has been a tough season because with no non-conference games or scrimmages, you jump into one of your toughest part of the conference seasons without any sort of real game.
The Eagles have most of the week off. They'll head to Alabama on Friday to face Jacksonville State. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Philip Lawson Real Estate and Auction, hosting an estate auction on March 27th at 10 a.m. Located in Frenchburg, Tract 1 includes a home and lot. Tract 2 and 3 are located near Cave Run Lake with 39 and 56 acres. Auctions will be held on Saturday, March 27th. Tract 1 begins at 10 a.m., Tracts 2 and 3 at 11:30 a.m. Philip Lawson, broker and auctioneer, serving the area since 1977. More information at 606-768-3583. Facebook and online at philiplawsonrealestate.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose, led by tech shares, as investors flocked back into growth names amid declining bond yields, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 103.23 at 32,731.20. The S&P 500 was up 27.49 at 3940.59, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 162.31 at 13,377.54. The NASDAQ very strong today because of the very good strength in your large tech stocks. Tesla was up 2.3% as Kathy Wood's ARK Invest said the stock could quadruple in 4 years. Apple, Microsoft, and Netflix all gained at least 2%. And the 10-year Treasury bond fell 5 basis points to finish at 1.68%. And, of course, the lower interest rates were good for the performance of tech shares. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.5% at $61.47 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,738.20 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 301 at $93.78. App Harvest down 70 cents at $20.89. Marathon Petroleum down 41 cents at $53.35. Community Trust Bank was down $1.67 at $44.27. AEP down 4 cents at $83.63, and Lowe's was up $2.37 to finish at $181.86. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 69. Tuesday night, a 30% chance of showers, mainly after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 52. Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 54. Thursday, showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm after noon. Mostly cloudy with a high near 68.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Heather Fannin, Josh Grogan, Carla Haight, Shamari Mosley, Ben Hall, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from the Trailblazers' Olivia Neal. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.